Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you, folks. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We bless you in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give us the precious understanding that we need, Lord, to endure in the days to come, to understand your wonderful plan, Lord, and to cooperate with you in it, to not be afraid as those who don't understand what you're doing and don't know your wonderful provision, your power, your anointing, your authority. Lord, let your people know who they are on this earth and why they're here, Lord, that they might cooperate with you in this process. Lord, we praise you for all that you're showing us. It is very encouraging. Lord, let all of your people understand your plan. And we just praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brethren, we've been talking about the end times and what God's going to do. And it's all in the book, you know. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. So we search and the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we see things. And I want to share with you something today that may be contrary to some of you's patriotic spirit. If you know, everybody has a patriotic spirit, you know, folks, and other nations do too. They want to defend their nation, you know. But actually, there's only one nation that belongs to God down here. And that's that one holy nation, that chosen generation that Peter spoke about. We belong to that one nation. We're not of this world. Our kingdom's not of this world. So with that in mind, I want to share with you, why is it that the Lord will ultimately lead the kingdoms against the United States? I know some people say, nah, it can't happen. Oh, yes, it will happen. Let's start in Revelation 17, verse 15 through 18, where it speaks about the waters where the harlot sitteth, that these waters are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Well, we've noticed in the past that the harlot is twofold. It's a religious kingdom and it's a secular kingdom. And that America is a Babylon, because Babylon was the great eagle that ruled over the United Nations. It ruled over the nations of the world. So where the harlot sitteth here is twofold. Number one, it's talking about America. America is at the top of the UN, folks. It is ruling over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. It is a harlot because it's turned away from God. It is a harlot because it's received the seed of the world instead of the seed of God. And, of course, you know that's what a harlot is. And it goes on to say, and the ten horns, which, by the way, are to the ten kings, which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot. They shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. Of course, we know from the book of Revelation that it happens at the end of the 7 years. Okay? It goes on to say, for God did put in their hearts to do his mind. What is that? The ten kings, to do his mind. And the woman whom thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, why would it be calling it a great city if it's talking about a nation? Because all of the individuals in the book of Revelation are corporate. And the cities are corporate too. For instance, in Isaiah 25 and 3, Babylon is called a city of terrible nations. It's a corporate city in which the individual members are not people, but nations. And America is also a Babylon. It's a city of states. The members of this city are states. So in the Bible, it does use corporate cities, corporate nations, corporate individuals. And in the book of Revelation, that's one of the keys that's hidden from the people. Okay, so this great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth, some people say it's Babylon, New York. Well, I agree with that. That's another lesser parable. But again, but why would God give the ten kings, how would he put it in their heart to destroy this harlot of apostate Babylon, the great eagle, America? Why would he do that? It will be done, folks. It's the word of God. It will happen. It'll be done because in Revelation 18 and 24, in her is found the blood of the saints and of the prophets. Do you understand that America is going to turn against the people of God? And we've already been through a lot of that. I'm not going to bring you back through it. But they're going to persecute the saints here, folks. Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That includes America. Let me show you some types. King Cyrus led the Medo-Persian bear. That was their symbol, which of course today would be Russia. The fulfillment of that is Russia. To conquer the great eagle of Babylon. That was their symbol. And that's the United States. The bear is going to conquer the eagle. And just as Christ will lead the Russian bear over the UN, you know, at the head of the ten kings, to conquer the U.S. eagle. So there's a parallel there. As Cyrus led the Medo-Persian bear to conquer Babylon, so Christ is going to lead the Russian bear to conquer the United States. Why do I apply Christ to Cyrus? Because the Bible does. Isaiah 45, 1 and 2. It says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. Anointed there is the Hebrew word for Messiah. To Cyrus. Cyrus was God's anointed. The same word is Messiah. So he's applying this, we'll see as we go on. Whose right hand have I holden to subdue the nations? God gave to Cyrus to subdue nations. What nations did he subdue? He subdued the Babylonish Empire. All the nations in the Babylonish Empire, he conquered them. And, of course, we know what the Babylonish Empire is. In Daniel chapter 2 and 3, we see the great eagle at the top of all the nations in one image called the image of the beast. If you want to know what the image of the beast is today, folks, it's the UN under the United States. That's what the image of the beast is. To subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open the doors before him. And I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and the bars of iron. Which is exactly what happened in front of Cyrus as he led the Medo-Persian Empire to conquer Babylon. Went down the Euphrates River, diverted the Euphrates River, went underneath the bars of iron, went into the city. The gates on either bank were unlocked, and he walked right into the city and took it. Let me tell you, folks, they're going to come into the United States. America's going to be very weak at the time. They're going to be spread thin. They're going to have their armies all over the world. They're going to take it. Well, hidden within Cyrus is a type of Jesus our Savior. Verse 14 says, surely God is in thee. Well, now, Cyrus was a heathen king, folks. He just added the God Jehovah with all of his other gods. We know this from history and from his own writings. He wasn't a devoted believer, but God's using him as that. He's using him as a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself in Cyrus. God was hiding as a type in Cyrus. He goes on to say, O God of Israel, the Savior. Why was God making out Cyrus to be a Savior? Why did he call him his anointed? Because he had anointed him to set God's people free. Cyrus, as a type of Jesus, liberated the people of God from bondage in Babylon to go to the Promised Land. When he conquered Babylon, it was because Babylon had conquered the people of God and was keeping them in bondage. Folks, you think that's not going to happen to the modern-day Babylon? It's going to happen. America at the head of the nations is going to turn against the Christians. I'm telling you this in the name of Jesus. Well, Cyrus, like Jesus, used them to build the New Jerusalem. Listen to me. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, he set the people of God free to go back to the Promised Land. And what did they build? They built the New Jerusalem, because original Jerusalem had been destroyed by Babylon. What is Babylonish churches? What are they doing? They're destroying Jerusalem. Paul, in Hebrews chapter 12, said, "You have come to the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the living God, to the spirits of just men made perfect." He wasn't talking about physical Jerusalem. He was talking about heavenly Jerusalem. It was built. It was God's people. You know, the bride that comes down out of heaven. What did he say? "Come hither, I will show you the bride, the new Jerusalem." It is God's people. Not in the physical, not in the flesh. We don't have a fleshly kingdom. We have a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual King David, Jesus. But we also have a spiritual city and a spiritual people of God worldwide. A spiritual capital city that rules. So, just as Jesus is coming to set the people of God free to go to the New Jerusalem, Cyrus came and destroyed. He was the bear, and he destroyed the eagle and set God's people free to go to build the New Jerusalem. Verse 13 says, "I have raised him," that is Cyrus, as a type of Christ, "up in righteousness. I will make straight all of his ways. He shall build my city." You say, that looks like, sounds like Christ. And it was Cyrus too. "He shall build my city. He shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor for reward." In other words, he's going to do it by grace. Right? "Saith the Lord of hosts." You know, our Messiah uses his true people to build his spiritual New Jerusalem, exactly the way Cyrus did. "I will show thee the bride, the holy city Jerusalem." Isaiah 44 and 28. "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem," that's the New Jerusalem, "she shall be built." You understand? When America falls at the end of the tribulation period, the Messiah is leading the armies against her to set God's people free. This is going to happen. Well, there's also going to be a civil war in the UN beast, because as you know, they're one. They're going to be one. The ten kings are going to rule a one world empire, and the harlot is going to sit on the back of the seven-headed, ten-horned beast. Right? Ten-kinged beast. So there's going to be a civil war at the end of the tribulation period that's going to cause this unity to break up. God's going to divide the nations because they are persecuting his people. This is history. It's happened over and over. Look in Luke 21 and 20. It says, "But when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand." Now, Jerusalem, what do we know? We know that Jerusalem represents not only natural Jerusalem, but spiritual Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, "These things happened unto them," that is the Jews, "by way of example." The word example there is the word for type or figure. See, what God used the natural Jews for is a type and figure for the spiritual Jews. When you see Jerusalem encompassed with the beast armies, then you know that her desolation's at hand. And that's talking about both physical and spiritual Jerusalem, because the beast is going to make war on the saints. "Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains." As you know, in 70 AD, God's people fled to the mountains, and the beast came in and devoured the harlot. And that's a type of God's people getting in the ark. Okay? "For these are the days of vengeance." You know, the days of vengeance is the great and terrible day of the Lord. It happens after the tribulation period, as we saw. Revelation 16:14. It says that the demons are going to go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Now, you know the kings of the whole world. There's 10 of them, right? 10 continental divisions of the planet Earth. This is their new one world order government. And the demons are going to draw them to the great day of God, unto this battle, which we call Armageddon. But notice what it says here. "Behold, I come as a thief." Wow, you mean, is this talking about at the time of the great day of God, the battle, the whole world's gathering together? Yes, It's exactly what it says. Now, the translators put parenthesis there, but there weren't any in the original. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Wow. The Lord is coming. Yeah, in this battle, the Lord himself is coming to cause division in the nations because the nations are destroying God's people, making war against the saints. And the Bible says, and they gathered them together unto where? Armageddon. And why are they gathered there? They're gathered to divide Jerusalem. They're gathered to divide the people of God. But you know what? The end of the story is God will divide them. Yes. Verse 18. And there were lightnings, and there were thunders, and there was a great earthquake. You know what a war sounds like? Lightnings, thunders. It looks like and sounds like lightnings and thunders. And there was a great earthquake, such as not since there were men upon the earth. Yeah, why does it happen right there? Because there's a nuclear exchange right there. God divides the nations and they destroy one another. And the great city was divided into three parts. Yeah, it came as one against God's people, but God divided them into three. Notice, that's history. He does this over and over. Okay, what three parts was world Babylon divided into? North, south, and east, just like the Bible says. Kings of the north, king of the south, kings of the east. Why do I see this great city here now as the whole world? Because the whole world came from Babel. There's more than one parable of Babel. The whole world was one language at Babel. God confounded their language, spread them out on the continent, broke up the continent in the days of Peleg, and now all the world came from one source. All the world is Babylon. Okay? And the United States, of course, is a melting pot, which is a lesser parable of Babylon. Okay? You know what the UN is, folks? The UN is just a United States of the world. That's all it is. They're repeating history on a larger scale. And guess who's at the head of this one world order? It is, that's right, the original, the United States. And notice what it says, that the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Now you know what the great city is that's divided into three parts. It's the nations, all of them. That's world Babylon. And Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her, what? His wrath. The cities. So when this great earthquake came, the lightnings and the thunders, and the nuclear war came, God divided the one world city, the one world nation into three. King of the north, king of the south, king of the east. And the cities of the nations fell. Why? Because the nukes are destroying them. And he gave unto her her wrath. Let's see. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Babylon, folks, is both the whole world from Babel and the melting pot, which is the United States. Isaiah 25 and verse 2. Listen carefully. For thou hast made of a city a heap, and a fortified city a ruin, a place of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. You say, aha, now we know that that's about Babylon, right? It's never going to be built again. But listen to the next verse. Therefore shall a strong people glorify thee, a city of terrible nations shall fear thee. A city of nations. All the nations are in this city. And it's going to be divided into three. It came as one against God's people, but it's going to be divided into three. The UN is just a U.S. of the nations. That's all it is. Zechariah 14 and 1. Behold, a day of the Lord cometh, when thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Speaking about God's people. Verse 2. For I will gather all nations, that's the UN beast, folks, against Jerusalem. What time is this? This is at Armageddon. He's going to gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And Jerusalem is what? It is the physical people of the Jews, and it's the spiritual people, because the beast is going to be making war on the saints. Everything this letter also has a spirit. Okay? So when God's people were attacked by the beast, God divided them into three. That's what the whole parable is talking about. And by the way, Jerusalem has USA right in the middle of it, because there's a prophecy there. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. Notice this. Half of the natural city of Jerusalem is going to go into captivity. Why are they doing that? They're coming to divide the city. Because the UN resolution is to give half the cities to half of the city to the Palestinians for their Palestinian state, obviously. But it goes on to say, and the residue of the people, or remnant of the people, shall not be cut off from the city. So, you know what? What we call the people of God, the beast is going to make war against. But a remnant will not be touched by this beast. It's kind of like the Assyrian beast that came against Israel. It conquered the northern 10 tribes who worshipped the golden calf. It conquered all of Judah. But when it came to Jerusalem, God spared Jerusalem because he saw them as righteous at that time. And so you see here, he's letting the beast conquer half the city and he's not even doing anything about it. But when the remnant is threatened, notice, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is a symbol for the saints, both in the U.S. and the U.N. around the world. The symbol for the saints. God is going to protect a remnant. It says, then it says in verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Notice he didn't fight while they were taking half the city. It was only when the remnant was threatened. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. As when he fought in the day of battle. So, obviously, God did this before. Verse 13 says, a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Well, we just saw that when Babylon, world Babylon, the United Nations was coming against Jerusalem. He divided them into three. And that's right, king of the north, king of the south. That's where those wars come from. King of the north, king of the south, kings of the east. Came as one. Notice, they came as one, were divided into three. Okay. So how did he fight in the day of battle? Well, in 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, he says, hearken ye all Judah and Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, fear not ye. Neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So this is how he fought in the day of battle. God's battle here. See? Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liars in wait against the children of Ammon. Now, Ammon, in relationship to Jerusalem at that time, was the king of the north. You know who the king of the north is in these days? It's going to be Russia. Set liars in wait against the children of Ammon, that's the king of the north, that's Russia, etc., all their allies, of course. Moab, in relationship to Jerusalem, was straight east. Okay, so Moab was the king of the east in those days. And, of course, the kings of the east in this time is going to be China and Japan, and other eastern nations that are joined together. And Mount Sur. Now, Mount Sur, in relationship to Jerusalem, in that day was south. And that's going to be the United States, folks. They're going to be in the southern part of this Battle of Armageddon. And, of course, those that come with the United States. So I'm just mentioning the major characters here, right? So you got the king of the north, king of the east, king of the south here that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So when they praised the Lord set liars in wait, and the king of the north, king of the south, king of the east were smitten. Verse 23. For the children of Ammon, that's north, Russia, and Moab, that's east, China, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Sur. That's south. That's the United States, folks. You know that this is exactly what's going to happen. This is what the prophets have been saying is going to happen. Is God's going to, they come as one. God divides them into three. The king of the north and the king of the east is going to attack the king of the south. Utter to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Sur, everyone helped to destroy one another. Wow. So this is how God's going to destroy the beast armies so that God's people are spared. He did it right here. He did it for Jehoshaphat. He did it for the people of God at that time. He's going to fight as he fought. Notice, they came as one. They were divided into three. North and east destroyed south. And then east destroyed north. Watch. In a global beast empire, North and south do not need to be on the same longitude, just like it was in the Old Testament with individual kingdoms, because now we're talking about a one world empire. The Russian bear is north of the 47th parallel, and the U.S. eagle is south of the 47th parallel. That's king of the north, king of the south. All the Bible types of kings of the north and south have been in the northern hemisphere. You would think, well, they're both in the northern hemisphere. They couldn't be north and south. Yes, they are, and they always, every other place in the Bible where north and south are used, it was always in the north, in the northern hemisphere, both of them. Okay, so as Medo-Persia was north and east of Babylon, so Russia is north and east of the United States. The Medo-Persian bear beat the Babylonish eagle as a type and a shadow, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. History just repeats. It only repeats. So at Armageddon, where the war begins, the U.S. soldiers in the U.N. Beast Army will occupy the southern area of the battle theater. Do you understand why God's going to gather all nations against Jerusalem? What does that symbolize, and what's actually going to happen? You're not talking about the whole world gathered there, folks, when he says all nations. You're talking about a UN beast army is going to be gathered there. Armageddon is just one battle in a great big war that's going to be worldwide. It's just the starting point. It's where all the division starts, right there, when they come against God's people. Now, the beast army is coming against God's people worldwide. I'm talking about God's spiritual people worldwide. We're looking at a physical type here that represents something spiritual. Because the beast is making war on the saints. So they're coming against spiritual Jerusalem worldwide. And now they're coming against natural Jerusalem, which is a type and a shadow. Okay? So, in this UN beast force, the king of the south, that is the United States and allies, you know, Britain and Australia and Canada and all these people that are always joined with them, and a few Arabs that are joined with them, are going to be in the southern area of the battle theater. This means that the U.S. will be the king of the south and Russia will be the king of the north in both battle theaters, on a world stage and at Armageddon. Notice that they are north and south physically in the world, and at Armageddon they will still be north and south. Okay, so how does the Lord fight when he fights, when he went forth to fight in the day of battle? Well, the king of the north, Russia, with their allies, along with the kings of the east, China, Japan, North Korea, so on and so forth, will lead the UN beast kingdom against the king of the south, the U.S., Britain, and their allies, and destroy them. Then the kings of the east will lead the UN beast kingdom against the king of the north, the Russian, Russia and their allies in Europe. And everyone helped to destroy one another, as the word says. In this way, the beast shall, listen to what it says, he shall devour the whole earth, quote, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Daniel 7 and 23. In this way, three of the 10 kings of the Magna regions, you remember when we studied that, how that the New World Order has already been designed, and they're going to break the whole world up into 10 Magna regions. That's where the 10 kings are going to come from. The continentally divided earth, do away with nationalism and patriotism and religious boundaries, which make wars. That's what they want to do away with. And it says that three of the 10 kings are going to be plucked up by the roots. Well, do you know, I've looked, for instance, we're about to put on our site the Club of Rome's map, which identifies the first three. Number one is North America, number two is Europe, and number three is Australia. Yes, folks, that's going to be the king of the south. And what's going to happen? Three of the 10 horns are plucked up by the roots. That's the first attack on the United States by the king of the north and the kings of the east. As when he fought for Gideon's army. In Judges chapter 6 and 33, we have another type of the exact same thing. It says, then all the Midianites, Midianites were north of Jerusalem. They represent Russia and their allies. And the Amalekites, they were south of Jerusalem. They represent the king of the south, and that's the United States and their allies. And the children of the east, which is, of course, China and so on and so forth, assembled themselves together, and they passed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Notice, they came as one. Okay? And verse 20 says, chapter 7 and verse 20 says, and three companies blew the trumpets. This is talking about Gideon's army. Why is it three companies? Well, notice, there's three companies coming against them. Why is it three companies here? Well, pay attention, folks. The people of the saints live in all of the beast kingdoms all around the world. If the world is divided into three because of a schism, the people of God are in that three. So you got three companies that blew the trumpets. Trumpets represent the word of the Lord. Why is it the word of the Lord? Because breath and spirit are the same word. And what a trumpet does is it turns breath into an audible sound that can be heard by men. Okay? So we're talking about the word of the Spirit being going forth here. And what did it do? It destroyed the devil's kingdom. Watch. And break the pitchers, which, you know, the pitchers is the old clay, the old man, the crucifixion of the old man, and held the torches. And the torches of the new man coming forth because the old man's crucified, right? So you got the pitchers, the trumpets, and the torches. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You see, folks, it's not just the sword of the Lord, it's our sword too. Right? And verse 22 says, the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, this is the beast kingdom, and against all the host. What did they do? They came as one and they divided into three. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow. The word through the saints divided the beast. They came as one, they divided into three. God destroyed them that way. See, a sign of this division when the Lord comes to fight in the day of battle is Zechariah 14 and 4. It says, and his feet shall stand on that day, in that day, on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof. When the Lord returns, he's going to cause a division. This is a symbol here. And I'm going to talk to you about the feet of the Lord in the next thing, because there's the feet of the beast, which represents the end time people of the beast. But there's also the feet of the Lord. And that represents the end time saints. I'm not talking about the Lord not coming, but I'll share that with you next time. Why is it that he divides Jerusalem here? Well, divides the Mount of Olives. Because the Mount of Olives was called the Mount of Corruption back in 2 Kings 23 and 13. It was called the Mount of Corruption because upon it were the abominations to the harlot religions of Ammon, the east, Moab, the south, and Sidon, the north. All their religious abominations were on that mountain. It was called the Mount of Corruption. The three divisions of the earth were represented on the top of the Mount of Olives. And here the Lord's feet divide that mountain. These abominable religious representations on the top of that mountain were built by Solomon for his heathen wives. You see, Solomon built a one world order too. And he also built a UR, a United Religions. He tried to bring the nations around him to peace through a religious union of all the religions. And he built these abominations on the top of that mountain, which represented the north, south, and east. He was like the end-time beast that brought the harlot religions together in the United Religions, exactly as the UN is doing now. Okay? In 1 Kings 10 and 14, it says, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. That's 666. Yes, Solomon did represent the beast when he united the religions of the three divisions of mankind there. Exactly what the beast kingdom is going to do. Now let's finish Zechariah 14 and 4. And the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Well, Daniel's revelation of the Roman Empire leading up to the end time was the legs of iron, its feet part of iron, and part of clay. So you've got the feet of the end time beast. If you see the beast historically, like from Daniel's day on down to ours, instead of just an end time revelation, if you see it historically, in our day, there was the feet, with the ten toes being the ten kings. And the feet were part of iron, which was original, the people, the seed of the original Roman Empire, and part of clay, that's people that were never part or never the seed of the original Roman Empire. Okay? So, if you look at Daniel's representation, this cleft in this mountain, east and west, represents the division of the united feet. You see, when the so-called East Bloc nations fell, and they finally got united resolutions through the United Nations, and suddenly there was agreement. And they got unanimous decisions. That never happened before, hardly. You know, but because there's a unity of the Roman Empire, they're bringing both feet together. You see, they're building Babel again. They're putting together Babel again. God destroyed it the first time. He just confounded their tongues. And yet, here they are trying to put it back together. They want a united world. And God says, no, no, a united world is not good. No. So, here God comes and sets foot, or he, in this revelation, he sets feet on the mountain and splits in half and divides the three divisions of the earth. So, splitting this mountain here in half represents the splitting of east and west again. The eastern and western foot of the Roman Empire are going to be split again. And you know what we got there? We got iron of the east, iron of the west, and clay of both. Because there are clay nations joined with the United States, for instance. And there are clay nations joined with Roman Empire. The eastern leg of the Roman Empire, folks, is not very well represented in the European Union, because it went on up through Germany, it went on up through Russia, it went on up, you know, it was totally eastern. They're not including those nations in their so-called one world order. That's not the one world order. The UN is the one world order. Okay? And all the nations are involved in it. As we know, the last kingdom of Rome will devour the whole earth. The UN is the only nation that's devoured the whole earth. So, we got the feet being split, divided. And the eastern foot is the Russians and the East Bloc allies and the north. And the western foot is the U.S., NATO, and West Bloc allies in the south. If you join both of these with the clay nations, which were never part of the original Roman Empire, you got a three-way split here. Watch. The feet splitting the Mount of Olives represents this three-way split in the beast kingdom. If you look on the top of the Mount of Olives, today you will see an assortment of the seed of the Eastern and Western Roman Empire, and Muslim, which is clay. Watch. There's the Greek Orthodox Monastery, which is Eastern Roman Empire. There's the Russian Church of Mary Magdalene, which is Eastern Roman Empire. There's the Russian Orthodox Monastery, which is Eastern Roman Empire. There's the Roman Catholic Church of All Nations, which is the Western Roman Empire. There's the Church of the Pater Noster, which is Western Roman Empire. There's the Muslim Mosque of the Ascension, which is clay. Well, basically, you've got on the top of the Mount of Olives what you had on the ancient Mount of Olives. You got the iron of the east, the iron of the west, and the clay up there. The same as what you had back there, which represented north, south, and east. And so, splitting of this mountain represents the same thing. The division of the nations that are coming to destroy God's people. How is God going to save his people? the same way he always has. He's going to go forth and fight as he fought in the day of battle. He's going to divide the world so that they will kill each other off. You want to know why America is going to be attacked by the bear? Because America is going to be making war on the saints. America, in the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 3, was the head of gold. It was the great eagle. It was the head of all nations, the head of United Nations. Okay? Now, I understand that that vision of the image of the beast was historic, but it was also end time. It was historic because it talked about all the nations from Daniel to us. That's the image of the beast that's been in the world from the beginning until now. But also it's end time because he told the king that the Lord has shown you what's going to happen in the latter days. Aha, so it's an end time revelation too. All those nations are still with us today in one beast kingdom, the United Nations, the seed of all world ruling empires is with us today in the United Nations. Now, it said that Egypt and Assyria and Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, these all lost their dominions, but their lives were prolonged. Meaning what? Meaning, as an individual kingdom, they were destroyed. But the people of those kingdoms passed on down to us today, and they're in the UN now. As one kingdom now. What's the UN going to do? Persecute the saints. Come against the saints. Seek to force them to take the mark of the beast so that they can identify what everybody's doing. They want to be able to surveil everybody. They don't want nobody to be terrorists, Christians or Muslims. So, the Lord is the one doing this, folks, because some will bow down because they don't want to lose their life. Some that are called Christians will bow down. They don't want to lose their life. God is using the beast to separate the wheat from the tares, the goats from the sheep. Among God's people, there are some wicked people, some Pharisees. You remember what the Pharisees did, right? The Pharisees were used to crucify God's people, starting with the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, going on to his disciples. The Pharisees were in league with the beast. They were the harlot. They were in league with the beast Roman Empire to crucify the saints. God used both the Pharisees and their false religion and the Roman beast empire to separate the wheat from the tares. Some people bowed down. They refused. They did not want to lose their life. But Jesus said, if you're not willing to lose your life, you're not going to gain your life. So God himself is bringing a tribulation, a fiery trial to burn up the old man. Burn up the bonds of the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. So, you know, after the Western king of the south is conquered by the Eastern king of the north, the clay nations of the east will beat them. The clay, which is joined to both feet, are some Muslim nations. China and Japan and North Korea, too. Okay? These were not part of the original Roman Empire, but they're joined to either side, you know. And I got a confirmation from one of Dimitri Dudeman's revelations. An angel spoke to Dimitri of this clay war against the bear. Now remember, the bear is going to conquer the eagle, but then the clay is going to conquer the bear because east is going to take out north. And he said, after its conquest of the United States, when God will hit America, quote, all the nations will be terrified. God will raise up China, Japan, and many other nations. These are clay nations. And they will beat the Russians. Folks, China was joined with the Russians. And now they're going to fight against the Russians. They will push them back to the gates of Paris. There they will make a peace treaty, but they will make the Russians their leader, and all the nations with the Russians as their leader will go against Israel. So now you see the whole picture. You see that the kings of the east, the king of the north, will fight with the king of the south, conquer the king of the south. Then the kings of the east are going to conquer the king of the north. And then what's left are going to go against Israel again. Because don't you know that when the ark is lifting off, the Lord is taking his people But a year later, he's coming back with his people. And when he comes back, folks, they're once again. Armageddon started this thing, split the whole world into a war that's going to last for a year. At the end of it, the remnant is going to come against Israel again. And at that time, the Lord's going to appear and destroy them. And the last battle will be once again against Israel. And with the return of Jesus and his saints. It all fits, folks. Well, God's plan has to be fulfilled. Throughout history, the beast has come as one against God's people. When they come, God divides their tongue. He breaks up this Babylon again, and they begin to fight with one another. This is how he's going to save his saints from being utterly destroyed. Because, as you know, half the city is going to be taken before God goes to defend what? The remnant of his people. Why this particular remnant is he going to defend? I'll tell you why. The Lord told me why. It's because they're not under the curse. The Lord told me one time, he told me a whole list of things. I sat down and started writing them down, just a whole list of things. One thing he told me was that his saints would be translated out of the middle of nuclear blasts because they're not under the curse. And he wasn't talking about the heaven either. He was just talking about moving them, just moving them out of the way because they're not under the curse. You know, the saints are going to be here for 40 days, just as Noah was here after the 7 days, for 40 days, we saw that, in the ark, while the flood was coming upon the earth. The great and terrible day of the Lord. The flood of destruction upon mankind. The saints are going to be in the ark for 40 days, while the flood is destroying the earth. You know what the flood is? The Battle of Armageddon is the very beginning of it. The first strike is going to be on America. They're going to come as one at Armageddon, and America's going to be the first to be hit. That's when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. Jesus said, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon won't give its light. Then the Son of Man is going to send forth his angels and gather together his elect. What's the sun and the moon darkened for? Because of a world nuclear war. An earthquake so great it shakes the whole world. And the nations are divided into three. And north and east hit America first. At the end of the 7 days, as we saw in the previous studies, at the end of 7 days, 2,555 days from the time the covenant's made, America's going to get hit. The saints will be in the ark for 40 more days, meaning they're going to be here for the initial nuclear conflagration. And you know what? They're going to be in the ark. They're not going to be touched. For 40 days, the ark sat upon the earth during the flood until it lifted off. That's what the Lord showed me. It's a Passover of the saints. Who are these people in the ark? And why are they the remnant that's going to be spared? Why doesn't God defend the rest of Jerusalem, which represents God's people? Because many people aren't out from under the curse, and they won't even be at the end of the tribulation period. Can we come to the place where we're not under the curse? The Lord already accomplished that. Galatians 3 and 13. He became cursed for us. He bore the curse. Well, the curse of what? Sin and death. He bore it. And he said he was going to abolish death. In fact, the Bible says in Timothy that he abolished death already for every man. He did it at the cross. But he also said the last enemy to be abolished would be death. And so God, by those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord in the ark, these people will have conquered the other enemies in their life and will come to death and will conquer it too by faith in the promises of God. They will be in the ark because there's no curse of death on them. They've lived a holy life. You know, the curse of death upon mankind was because of sin. God's planning on conquering sin in those people who walk by faith in him. Well, I know that some will die as martyrs, and that's okay. And some people think, even have the idea that martyrs is the highest calling, but it's not. The highest calling is to be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. That's the highest calling. The highest calling is the bride, but those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, they bear that fruit too. See, the bride is just the first fruits. But those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, the reason they don't die is because they've overcome sin by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, folks, the Lord took away our sins. All of them. Past, present, and future. He took them away. He nailed them on the cross. We were crucified with Christ, and now we don't live. Christ lives in us. Walk by faith and believe the promise of God, because God is able to do that. No, we're not able to do that. We're not able to do anything without Him. We can do nothing without Him, as Jesus told us. But we can do all things through Christ. And I want to tell you, through Christ, when you walk by faith in His promises, He will give you power to overcome sin and to walk away from that. The nations are coming against God's people because history is going to repeat. Every time God raised up a beast kingdom, it was because, well, the first six was because Israel rebelled. God raised up Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome, all because Israel rebelled. Now in the New Testament, we are spiritual Israel, worldwide, those who have been circumcised in spirit, those who have been circumcised in heart, are New Testament Israel, worldwide. We've been grafted into the olive tree called all Israel. So now God needs a worldwide beast to come against His worldwide people. And He's raising up a beast that's a corporate beast of all nations. The seed of all previous kingdoms will be in this key, in this beast. And we know it's true right now in the UN. They're there. The UN will come against God's people, persecute God's people worldwide. The people, not just the UN armies, but the people, the UN, will persecute God's people worldwide. Why? The major reason they're going to persecute God's people is to crucify their flesh, bring them to the cross, and the more perfect God's people become, the more the world's going to hate them. They hated Jesus. They hated the prophets. Anybody that comes on the scene that's so contrary to this world will be hated. Jesus said so. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more we're going to be hated by this world. But listen, God has total control over all of these things. The beast army is raised up for the crucifixion of the flesh, not to destroy God's people. They can't destroy God's people. God's people are eternal. The flesh dies, but we just change addresses, right? Can't destroy God's people. They are eternal. The spiritual man's not under the curse. It's the carnal man that's under the curse. All we've got to do is cooperate with God in this process of crucifixion, and we won't need a beast to destroy us. You see, a dead man can't die. And basically, we're coming to the place of death to self. We need to cooperate with God now. There are people who are going to escape physical death because they're cooperating with God now in the crucifixion of the old man. Dead man can't die. Dead man turn the other cheek too. Praise God. God is in control of His crop down here. He knows just what it takes to make it bear fruit. He also knows how to get the tares out of the midst of the wheat. And the tares will not give up their life. They will deny the one they call their Lord who is not. You know, the tares were sown in the midst of the wheat. And it was called in God's kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 13. He called it God's kingdom. There was the wheat and the tares sown. So you got tares out there that are not really the elect. They're called, but they're not the elect. They haven't borne the fruit that a wheat bears. And what do you do with them? Well, according to Jesus, you let them both grow together until the harvest. Then you gather up the tares. What is the mark of the beast going to do? It's going to gather up the tares. It's going to bind them in bundles to burn them. Bind them in bundles. Birds of a feather flock together. See, the beast kingdom is going to be such a threat, an outward threat to God's people, that those who don't want to lose their life, they will humbly bow down. They will take the mark. They will join the beast. But the saints will not bow, and they will overcome. God bless you, saints.
information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
My thirsting soul, purest water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus.
Trust in